Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Instead of a Monday, it is a Tuesday edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, brought to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. That's where you can find us. That's who hosts this podcast. We appreciate Craig and the crew at WFNY for taking great care of us. Matt and Todd with you after what has been a long last couple of days for the Tribe. Back-to-back doubleheaders, back-to-back splits with the Jays and White Sox. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingT.com. Todd, man, you were down there yesterday. What a wild week this was. Taking care of business against the unnamed team, then coming back and just getting blowtorched early by Toronto. Coming back to beat the Jays, now the White Sox. This has been kind of an exhausting 7 days.
I would say so. I apologize in advance at the beginning for me being on Bluetooth. We're recording earlier than we normally do. Dropping off Brooke at school. I'll tell you, I thought it was an incredibly long week in general, but with the ridiculous weather turning into Saturday's postponement, the two doubleheaders, the long weekend, you go into the four-game set, seeing all three wins in Detroit against the unnamed team. The Indians need to really just kind of get through these next 2 days and get to Thursday. That's kind of the key. You got the off day coming Thursday, but it's been such a... I know that the unnamed team is terrible, and you know, luckily the Indians took 3 of 4 because the Yankees, correct me if I'm wrong, D's, got swept in your city this weekend.
Yeah, they did. Correct? Yeah, they did. And to be honest, every game was a grind. Even the Bieber game in Detroit on Thursday afternoon, where he's going, you know, is a no hitter going into the seventh. They're up 4-0. And you're like, all right, let's just put these guys away. Yet, you know, Shaw comes in, thinks he has the third out, pop-up drops between a bunch of guys. Then even Karinchak, it was 5-1. He gives up a run 5-2. So now the tying runs in the on-deck circle. It's like you couldn't breathe in any of those games. I mean, I was there Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday afternoon, and every game was a grinder. It was like, geez, can we just put these guys away? They do battle. I mean, give Hinch credit. They don't have any talent, but they play hard. But even the 1-0 loss on Wednesday – it was kind of an annoying series, but they got out of there with 3 out of 4. You just kind of knew. And our good buddy Zach Meisel came up and sat with me for an inning on Thursday afternoon. And he even said it. He's like, looking at how the pitching matchups are coming and all these injuries, and you got the Blue Jays and White Sox coming up, this could get ugly. And he's right. I mean, Toronto just stung the ball on us. Boy, talk about if we had their lineup, man, how good we'd be.
I tweeted this over the weekend. I said the difference in the offenses between the Blue Jays and the Indians it's staggering. I mean, their top five, Brooke and I went to the game. First of all, mad props out to my daughter, who, when it was, the weather was so bad here Friday, and I said, what do you think? And she's like, I still want to go. So we went, and it was insanely windy, and the sheets of rain came down, and like 3 innings in, I'm like, you ready to go? She's like, nope. No, but we were looking, when we get there Friday night, we're looking at the stats on the scoreboard. Everybody in their top five has like 10 double-digit homers, has driven in like 35 to 40 runs. You know, OPS is all over 800. And, you know, the Indians have two guys, basically doing all the bulk of the work, and one of them's on the injured list. So Yeah, the Blue Jays offense, that was a scary series to get through with one out of those three.
Yeah.
was actually a win. But to your point, does this team ever play a single game where it's not a grind? There's no Indians 8, you know, Twins 2. Like, it just doesn't happen. every game is like a one or a two run game.
It's been a while, and you're right. I mean, you know, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but Simeon, Grichuk, Bichette, Teoscar Hernandez, and Vladdy. I mean, that's a boastful top five, and then we're trotting out, like, you know, every day you never know who's going to hit second. Cesar's starting to heat up, and it was nice to see him hit a couple of bombs yesterday. But you're right, it's I mean, the bottom of our order is just gross. And then, oh, we're so excited about Owen Miller coming up, and he's ice cold and looks overmatched and not ready, which is so disappointing. But again, it's a couple of weeks. I mean, it's not, you know, they threw him right into the fire here. Now he's playing every game.
And he should, though. But you know what?
Yeah.
He should.
No, he should.
Brought him up here to play. I like that they're giving him the opportunity to sink or swim. The issue that I'm having is he's playing and again, I like that they're doing this, but he's playing a different position every day. I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, his slump, but he's down in the count 0-2, like, every time. Every time you look up, he's swinging at the first pitch or he's looking at the strike. He's, you know, and that was the one thing about him was that he was a pure hitter. He's not a big walk guy. And so that's been true to form. But I was hoping for something more than this. It's been really ugly. I mean, he has not been good. And I think, and I said this last week on the pod, I wanted fans to not get too excited and think that this guy's going to come up and, you know, immediately be, you know, Carlos Baerga 1995. You know, I mean, that wasn't going to happen, but I expected a little bit more. Now, they're mixing and matching every single day. I mean, like you said, the top five in that Blue Jays order is incredible. And meanwhile, you know, hard-hitting, handsome Harold Ramirez is hitting fourth or fifth every day, you know, for the Indians. So, I don't know. The bottom of the order, so, you know, we went to the doubleheader yesterday, and the bottom third, you know, I think game one was Chang, Rivera, Zimmer. Game two was Bowers, Hedges, and Zimmer. And I set the over-under at 1.5 hits per game out of those three. And the first game, they went way over at 3 in the first game.
I believe in the second game, Hedges had a hit. Zimmer had a hit.
Yeah. Went over both times. You could have won some nice money off of me on that.
I mean,
one,
you know, and I know Yu Chang actually had an RBI double. It's just the Bowers, hey, 3-for-3 on Monday night in Detroit. All right. And then the rest of the week is shit.
We're on June 1st, and they are still going with the Chang Bowers platoon.
It's horrible.
Their combined OPS doesn't even add up to, you know, what the league leader is. I mean, they're both below replacement level players. I think the only reason that they're still going is because of all the injuries. Like, if Franmil Reyes was here, I believe at this point we would have seen something different at first base. I think you would have seen more Naylor at this point, but, you know, they're riding it out with Bowers. I don't understand why. I mean, it's 3 years of, I mean, we know what he is. He stinks. And I don't care that every once in a while he gets a single. Does he ever drive the ball? How many home runs does our first base platoon ever hit? Never. It's garbage. I mean, it's a garbage situation, and I would love it if they could do something about it. I know Bobby Bradley is other than the home runs, he's doing nothing in AAA, but we talked about this before. If there was ever a time to give him a shot, it's now without Franmil Reyes. And I don't know what more this poor guy has to do, but, you know, it speaks volumes that he is not up at this point.
Derry Brothers Tribecast, Matt and Todd with you. Indians sitting at 29-24 tonight. White Sox at home Wednesday afternoon, 1-10 against Chicago. We'll get you all the pitching matchups. And then this weekend, after Todd said an off day on Thursday, The Indians go and play the Orioles, who have lost, by the way, Todd, 14 straight. And if you count it, 16 in a row to Minnesota, who they're playing the next 2 days. They are god-awful. If you can't go into Baltimore and, I'm not saying sweep them, I think eventually the Orioles are going to win a game or two here, but if you can't take 2 out of 3 this weekend from the Orioles, and the Indians will see their best pitcher, John Means, who threw the no-hitter earlier this year on Saturday, but still, ridiculous how bad Baltimore is, and 20 games below 500. But, you know, we mentioned before about the offense. Let's start with this. The defense is god-awful, and, like, it's amazing how this team is 29-24, only a handful of games, 3.5 games back of the White Sox, who are a superior team. Let's call it what it is. Chicago's really good. Can we beat them? Have we played them toe-to-toe this year? Yeah, we have. But Chicago's really good, and it's going to be tough to overtake them in the division. But regardless, the fact that they're swimming at 5 over 500 with just – they can't even turn a routine double play. The other day there was – The 4-6-3 that, against the Blue Jays that gave them their first run, where basically Bichette was walking to first base. He thought it was, oh gosh, I should just go to the dugout. And Rosario throws it a little wide, and then Bowers drops the ball. I mean, it's bad. Missed cutoff men last night again. Cesar drops a cutoff and then kind of like lollygags it, and the runner comes home on a 3-run double, should have been a 2-run double. I've said this before, and I know the executive producer agrees with me. We're moving too many guys around every day that no one has a real position, and it's hurting our defense.
First off, I'd like to talk about the Orioles, actually. I don't understand. You said it, and you're so right. The fact that this team is essentially right there in the division, 5 games over .500, playing baseball the way they are, kicking it around every single day. I mean, yesterday's first game, they single-handedly lost that game because they couldn't catch the ball. If they had a even average team defense, they don't lose game one. They don't, because in the first what was the inning that McKenzie gave up for? It was the second inning, right?
Yeah, the second.
I mean that display in the second inning, I think they were only charged for one error, and they should have, because by rule. But technically, 3 errors occurred in that inning, right? And then you got when the Indians had the I can't remember if the score was tied or if we were up by a run, but the one where Cesar tried to turn the double play and he threw the ball off of Abreu's head on the flip. I mean, that was either the eighth or the eighth. I'm sorry. It was the sixth or seventh. Which, by the way, I'm pro. I've changed my tune. I'm pro 7 innings.
I have no issue with it. I have no issue with it.
You heard, I don't know if you saw, I saw it on Twitter last night, but Andre Knott was interviewing Zimmer and asked him about it. And he said, I got to be honest, I like it. And I think I speak for everybody in the clubhouse that we prefer if a doubleheader is going to be, 7-inning games, because he said, especially if you're playing in both, late in the game, in the second game, your feet start to get heavy and you're dragging. And you could tell even, doubleheaders back-to-back, it's tough, man, even for fans. I was there yesterday for 12 or 14 innings. And, it's tiring sitting and watching, let alone playing.
I have no beef with it. I mean, I still think pitchers should not be hitting. I still think the runners starting at second base in extra innings is stupid. But the two games to get them in and get them out, and making them 7 innings and making it the same for both teams, I have no issue with it. I like the fact that yesterday, and I'm not a fan of his, I think he's a jerk, but Tony La Russa kept Rodon in there and rode him long, kind of longer.
Yeah.
Because he knew, hey, it's almost like a complete game. I don't need to use my bullpen. And Rodon, after the game, even said, I appreciated Tony letting me get through the sixth letting me pitch. Yeah. So much rather see that than 15 pitching changes. I mean,
absolutely. Back to the team defense, though. In all seriousness, I'm 45, you're 48. Do you ever remember an Indians team playing this bad defensively everywhere on the diamond. Do you? Because I don't.
I mean, you got to go back to when we were really young and, you know, just didn't have a lot of rangy players. You know, Jacoby was a bit of a statue at third. You know, Verizer was sure-handed at short but didn't have great range. I mean, I guess we could do that, but I don't recall a time where every day when the lineup comes out, especially for the 7 o'clock games and it's 4 o'clock and we're looking at Twitter and you're like, oh, okay, today Owen Miller is playing third and Jose's DHing. Oh, today Miller's at short or Chang's at short. But Chang hasn't played short all year. But Chang started the year at first. But Chang doesn't know how to play first. Oh, but Miller's at first. But then we have a rundown, and he has no clue yesterday. And again, he's a rookie. But, like, you know, Tim Anderson did that on purpose. You have to fake a throw to your shortstop in the rundown, fake, and then chuck it home. How does the ball never go home? So the guy, Leury Garcia, just walked home. Like, you can't do that unless you.
And that
but again, Owen Miller's not a first baseman. But I would rather see Owen Miller at first base every day. Just put him there over Bowers and Chang. But they don't do that. You know, Naylor cost us the Cincinnati game that one day because he never has played first base. I don't believe he had played first base in the majors.
That was his first game playing in the majors for the Indians. He may have for the Padres, but listen. He's a natural first baseman. That one where he let the ball go under his legs, Buckner style. I mean, I think Brooke could have fielded that ball. It was just was an error.
But he hadn't played the position all year. That's my point.
It was right. At that point, yes, I agree. It's just it's a constant problem that's not going away, and it's costing them games, and they are within striking distance of the division. I mean, you and I, let's be honest here, and you know this because we've discussed it. I mean, the White Sox may be the best team in baseball. They're one of the top five teams in baseball. They're probably the best team in the American League. And
Tampa's won a bunch in a row. I mean, Tampa's 15 over 500.
That's true. Okay, so
but Chicago is the most talent. Chicago's talent is off the charts.
Yeah. I mean, they're winning games, and they're doing it without Luis Robert, without Eloy Jimenez, and they're running guys out of the pen. Everyone's throwing 100. They're just a really good baseball team, and the fact that the Indians are hanging, playing as poorly as they are, is unbelievable. It truly is. They're not hitting at all, and the starting pitching has to be perfect, and the bullpen pretty much has been perfect. You know, they're good 90% of the time. I mean, look at yesterday's two games. Other than 99's, bullshit in game one, everybody contributed. I mean, from these guys all weekend or over the two doubleheaders, whether it was Trevor Stephan or Kyle Nelson, it doesn't matter. They're keeping a million arms, but my guess is there's going to be some sort of roster reset on Thursday because they've kept so many guys because of these doubleheaders and because of the basically you have three question marks in the rotation. But, I mean, even J.C. Mejia's looked good out of the pen. Everybody's been good. I mean,
yes.
Obviously, besides the three key guys, Whitgren was excellent yesterday, pitching in the sixth in game two. So everybody seems to be working out. It's just, again, it's a testament to you got to give it to Tito. You got to give it to the bullpen. I mean, they are keeping this team right there with arguably the best team in the American League while they're kicking the ball around the diamond and not hitting. It's incredible.
No, it is. And, man, your dislike for Karen Chack is unreal. 99.
Sure. Just put it this way. Don't follow him on social media. It'll just upset you. That's all I will say. And I don't follow him. Brooke sends me the stuff all the time, but she does.
It's funny. He's unhittable except in extra innings. Like, I know Tito thinks that's the guy I want out there with a runner on second because he can get swings and misses, but he's not pitched all that well in those 10th inning situations, to be honest. And look, Adam Eaton took him deep yesterday. I mean, that was a straight fastball.
But you know what his problem seems to be? I understand why Tito goes to him because you really want the strikeout guy with the man on second base and nobody out. And he got the strikeout that he needed. the problem was, and I actually had said this when the Indians came up in the bottom of the seventh. I said, you know, it would behoove the Indians to win now because Billy Hamilton is going to start at second base, who's the fastest guy on the White Sox, and they had 3, 4, 5 coming up. So the odds of them scoring were pretty high. Hamilton ended up stealing third, and it was a nice throw by, I think Rivera was kept. Yeah, I think it was Rivera.
Yes.
It was a nice throw by Rivera. And you know, what was he going to do? Billy Hamilton, super fast. It happened. And then, you know, you got the Abreu sack fly. Or no, yeah. And then when Karinchak, my point with him is he got rattled, and this happened in the last time he came in and gave up the homer in the extra inning session. It's like he gave up the run, and he's just like, fuck this, man. You know, and he's, you know, got touched up for that straight fastball by Eaton, and that was all she wrote. But, yeah. But, you know, obviously he's been great, and he's, as good of a reliever as there is in the game right now. But he's frustrating off the field, to say the least.
And Class A has not had his best stuff. Yesterday was great to see because he gives up the little dribbler single at the start of the inning in a two-run game, and you're like, oh, God. Then he comes back to strike out the side, which was nice, and showed a little emotion. If that's what we're nitpicking at,
right.
So be it. I mean, those guys have been very, very good. But, you know, again, missed cutoff men, not being able to turn a routine double play. It appears, at least for now, that Ahmed Rosario is going to be the everyday shortstop. Honestly, is Bradley Zimmer the everyday center fielder?
I will say this. If Ahmed is swinging the bat the way he does, and yes, his defense leaves a lot to be desired, and he made that shit throw, if you recall, in game... It was Saturday when they were turning an easy double play, and he made a wide throw, and Bowers made a should have
Sunday.
It
was the Sunday game one, yeah.
Yeah, that was not great, but listen, Bradley Zimmer yesterday made things happen with his legs. He got on base, three times. With the way the outfield is going, you might as well play Zimmer while he's hot. He was hot. They brought him up in the middle of a hot streak. So he was swinging the bat well. They brought him up. He played one game in Detroit, right? It was Thursday. He played
Thursday afternoon. Yes.
And he played both games yesterday. You might as well listen. The good news about Zimmer is at least you know you're getting good speed and good defense out of him. Whether he hits or not is a bonus at this point. But yeah, hey, he looked good yesterday. Might as well keep going with it. George Costanza once said to Mr. Don Mattingly, he's the first baseman, about his swing, go with it until it stops working.
A 28-year-old Bradley Zimmer, it's funny listening, I was driving the other day and Hammy was like, they're hoping they can see the first half of 2017 Bradley Zimmer before he got hurt. And it's like, geez, we're waxing poetic about 4 years ago, but there just isn't another option.
He was real good those 4 years ago.
I mean, Harold Ramirez, I like, but you're right, he's probably a fourth outfielder. They put him at center. Then the other day he was playing left because they gave Rosario a day off. They're trying to get guys off their feet, which I understand, and rotating the DH. Should be interesting to see next week what they do when they have to go to St. Louis for a couple of games and play in a National League stadium. But, you know, the defense is just, Rivera always with a pass ball or a couple of wild pitches. I mean, it's nitpicky, but it's bad.
Exactly.
They've got to catch the ball.
I will say this about Rivera. He has not been terrible. I mean, he hits better than Hedges does.
Yes, he does.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you know, I mean, he had the he started the rally in game two Sunday night with that big double to get it to 4-2. So if he's hitting at all, it's a bonus. Listen, anybody in the bottom of the order hitting is going to be a bonus for this team. Truly.
You believe yesterday that La Russa pitched to Jose Ramirez again with first base open? My goodness, what a beast!
When the count was 3-1, and it was man on second, nobody on first, I literally turned to the kids. We went to the doubleheader yesterday. I said, I can't believe La Russa is going to pitch to him here. He might as well just walk him. Next pitch, boom, out. And he hasn't. And listen, Jose Ramirez hasn't been really that great either. So this offense is something else. Huh? Although, you know, yesterday, game one, they scored 8 against the Blue Jays. In one of those. They scored 6. If the Indians offense scores 6 runs, they should win 95% of the time, right? I mean, what's the record? A couple weeks ago, their record with scoring 4 runs or more was like 14-1 or something crazy like that. So, again, if they could just get anything from the offense, it would be terrific.
And it looked like, and obviously I was there for 3 of the 4, Eddie Rosario made an adjustment and said, I'm just going to start hitting with my hands again and using my hands more. I'm trying to do too much with my body. And he heated up. Really, in Detroit, the home run he hit off of Matthew Boyd was such a no-doubter the other day. It was a beautiful swing, delivered a couple of clutch hits. It was good to see at least that Eddie Rosario back. Of course, it was Friday night, I believe. We went up 2-0 on the Blue Jays. And then
I was there.
Yeah, so, you know, that
was cold.
Good.
Yeah, Eddie had a hit, the RBI hit.
So,
you know what?
Hopefully
Eddie
he's heating up
at the right time.
Yes,
yeah.
They need that. All right, we got to talk about where this rotation is going, and you got to tell me about this Friday night game watching poor Eli Morgan pitch. What about the Center for Advanced Dentistry? You know, it's summertime. People can be outside taking pics. They got to get their teeth clean. Let's go.
Listen, you got to hit them angles. It's very important. You got to do it for the gram, man. So, but if you want a dentist on the east side of Cleveland, and even if you live on the west side and you don't mind taking the ride, if you want to be put at ease in a relaxing and fun environment, then you got to come down to the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Dr. Ben Hornstein and his partner, Dr. Sean Schlissel, they'll take great care of you. They've been taking care of me and my family for eons. That's centuries to me, you and me, Russ. They're over on Orange Place, right off of Chagrin Boulevard. They can do whatever you need in terms of dental work, whether it's a routine cleaning or, you know, fixing your smile. They'll do it, man. So you got to check them out. Go to cfad.net or give them a call at 216-595-1710. Tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you. They'll be very excited because they love the Indians just like we do. They're TribeCast listeners. They're the best. So seriously, check them out, cfad.net, or give them a call, 216-595-1710. Now, Matthew,
yesterday, did
you wear your Breaking Tea Tristan McKenzie Sticks t-shirt? When he was striking out 8 guys in a row?
I usually do, but listen, I didn't. I have the shirt, and I love the shirt, but I decided that because every time I've worn it, he has not pitched well. I went a different route yesterday, and I had my Loop There It Is Breaking Tea t-shirt on yesterday, even though he's on the IL, which you can get at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Any Tribe stuff you want, any Brown stuff you want, yes. I believe they're going to be making a Kobe Altman press conference t-shirt as well soon, because that was a beauty last week.
I think the t-shirt says Kevin Love Forever.
But yes, the J-Ram shirt, the Fronimal t-shirt, any of the players that you like, and if you're a big Tribe fan, go shop there. I believe it was our friend Cousin Matt out in Seattle. He's got his gear. And he gets it all from BreakingTea.com. You put in BreakingTea.com/dairy, that takes you right to the Cleveland collection, and you order it right there. So, yes, I do have my Sticks McKenzie shirt. I still have to get my home run pitch Jose shirt because it's a red shirt. Got a bunch of blues and other stuff. So I'm excited to always rock the gear. And the best stuff, whatever. If you're an NBA fan, NFL, whatever's hot and going on, whether it's, you know, hating on Kyrie whatever, they've got shirts for everything. If you're an Islanders fan, I saw some new Islanders shirt because they're closing down Nassau Memorial Coliseum again. It's back to the barn, and there's a picture of the old Coliseum. It's cool stuff. BreakingTea.com/dairy. That's D-E-R-Y. Get your stuff and your gear there. All right. We got to do pitching matchups and everything else for the rest of the week. Bieber's going to pitch tonight. Matata, honestly, like, Bieber and Savali have just carried this rotation. I was there on Thursday where Shane had the no-hitter going. You didn't even know he had a no-hitter going. I didn't even text it. But he was awesome again.
Because I had the game on in the background with no sound when I was working. And, like, it literally didn't occur to me. And then all of a sudden, after six, I looked up, and it had zeros. And I was like, holy shit, Matt could see a no-hitter. This would be incredible.
But me being there, I just knew it wasn't going to happen. I tried. That was great on Thursday. I usually have some good connections and rarely pay for a ticket down there. And then
rarely. You wouldn't give Mr. Ilitch, the late Mr. Ilitch, he wouldn't get a dime of your money.
Anyway, so Thursday, I ended up going on the app at about 12:15 before I left to go downtown. And yeah, I bought like an $11 ticket. There was like a set, you know, fees, got it up to 18. And then I strolled in there right at game time. Of course, ran into some people that I knew and was like, hey, D's. And I'm like, hey, got to get to my seat. But that didn't happen. And then so I missed like the first two batters. And then I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go upstairs and sit on the first base side, kind of high up, and stretched out. And that was it. I was there and plenty of good seats available. I think today's the day that most stadiums are opening up, right, to full capacity.
Tomorrow, June 2nd. Is it? I don't know why it's June 2nd, not June 1st, but like tomorrow for the Indians, they're going to full capacity.
Oh, okay. Because I think the Orioles, they said they're doing it today, I think. But
playing the state of Ohio, Cincinnati and Cleveland, we're doing June 2nd.
Gotcha. But anyway, so I was there. You're right. I was there to see that. But, man, that you look at it and you go, okay, Bieber, Savali, and then what? I would think, I mean, McKenzie was the 27th man yesterday and
correct,
is going back down, but can you, now you got to keep him up. Like, who knows where this, I mean, Eli Morgan's going to get another chance on Wednesday, but I guess he's getting that chance because, like you said, you can't really judge Friday night because the wind was so bad and the poor kid was facing the Blue Jays.
I felt bad for him. I really did. That game had no business being played. Listen, there were 20 people down there. Brooke and I were two of them. It was the windiest. Okay, I would say in my lifetime I've gone to at least 1,000 sporting events, probably more than that. That was the top five craziest weather I've ever been to. And the other four are definitely Browns games. You know, I mean, it was the wind was whipping so hard that fly balls were a complete adventure. Harold did take that terrible route, and he should have caught that ball. But again, everybody gets a mulligan for every fly ball on Friday night. I kept watching Eli's pants and the umpire's pants, and they were just flapping and flapping. You know, it's hard. Tito even said, I can't even make an evaluation about the kid after the game. He was put in an unfair situation. So I felt bad for him. So I'm glad he's going to get another start. Certainly. Oh, also this just in, and I don't know for our three female listeners that we probably have, Brooke thought Eli Morgan was very cute.
Your daughter's getting a lot of run on today's show. Lots.
Oh yeah. Well, listen,
she's been texting me from these games about Ahmed Rosario. I'm like, geez, okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm warming to him.
I don't even tell her to do it. That's the best part.
I'm warming to him. I'm warming.
Yeah, well, we're going again tonight, Brooke and I, so it'll be our fourth game in like 6 days. Yeah, so anyways, so I think Morgan's going to get one start, and I don't know how you don't bring McKenzie back. He's been money two times in a row, and especially yesterday against the White Sox of all teams, to be that good and strike out eight in a row, and it was even after that second-inning debacle where the defense completely let him down. We've seen earlier this year, he gets rattled early, and then he starts walking everybody, and then he's done. This time, for him to come back after giving up those four runs, which I don't know how many they counted as earned, but none of them should have been, and come back and be that dominant. I mean, he pitched into the sixth. He got an out in the sixth inning. And if you would have saw it after the second inning, I would have bet a lot of money after that he wouldn't have done it. So to me, you got to bring him back. The good news for the Indians in the rotation is that you got – Thursday's an off day, so now you don't need to have that fifth starter. That's why I said there's going to be a roster reset.
Well, and Monday.
And right, I was going to say, and on Monday, you don't have a game. And then the following Thursday, you don't have a game.
Right.
So basically, they're not playing two Thursdays in a row. So you're going to have plenty of opportunity to figure out what you're going to do with the rotation. They may keep McKenzie down just to keep him regular. And then when they need that fifth starter, bring him up. What do you think about Sam? What are they going to do about Sam?
Look, I'm rooting for big Sam Hinchis. I just, right now, he does not, he's walking everybody. He was overmatched the other night. What game was that? Toronto?
No, was it Toronto or was it the unnamed team? He pitched against the Tigers. You were there. You saw him. Or was that the game you didn't go to?
That was the game I did not go to. No, yeah, I did. No, I saw him pitch on Monday.
Monday. Okay, so he pitched Monday. I don't know. Okay, keep going.
He was fine. He went five innings. He was okay. But then his last outing, I thought, was against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he pitched on Saturday.
Yeah. And it was Sunday. Game?
Saturday and Sunday. I keep mixing Saturday and Sunday up because of the...
Sunday's second game, and he lasted like two innings. I like him, but he doesn't throw enough strikes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, McKenzie, when you strike out eight straight White Sox, you set a record and then it, for the Indians, and then it's Chicago. So that's pretty darn good. So McKenzie, at least his last two starts, looks like a different guy. You know, they told him, go down to the minors, and it's like, all right. And now, oh, shoot, we need you back up here. And he's just out there throwing. He's not overthinking things. He's putting it in the zone, which is nice. He doesn't have the great velocity they had last year, but he's throwing strikes. There's movement there. I mean,
you know, you wonder if the demotion itself humbled him a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, even though he didn't actually technically go down to Columbus and pitch, just the fact that he had been humbled and sent down, and basically they told him you need to go and work on some stuff. You know, maybe that worked. I'm concerned about Hinchis. I still think he projects more as a reliever. You know, he can still, you know, if he's throwing 97 for an inning or, you know, inning and a third out of the pen, I can live with it. But when he's, you know, not throwing as hard and he's not pitching deep into games and he's, you know, his command, I mean, I just looked it up. He only pitched two and a third. He gave up four hits.
Yeah, his ERA is over seven.
Walk three.
Right. Yeah, ERA is over seven. I mean, when he throws strikes and the breaking ball to left-handers is devastating. But the other day he faced the Blue Jays, and that's five right-handed hitters right out of the chute. Forget it. It was lights out.
Yeah. He's only pitched five innings once. I mean, and it was five innings, and that was on your birthday on Monday.
That was on the game in Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every other start he's made, inning in the two-thirds, four and two-thirds, three and a third, three, you know, this, I mean, so it's been mixed results. I mean, I think when they go back to five, it wouldn't shock me if it's McKenzie getting the call over him. I don't think it's going to be Morgan, who's going to, listen, unless Eli, you know, is awesome tomorrow, I don't see how he stays up. And they're not going to need five for a while. And, you know, Plesac, without having surgery, he may be back. You know, he's probably 3 weeks away from being back. So, you know, maybe Sam gets one or two more starts, but he's kind of like where we were with Tristan a couple weeks ago when we were like, all right, McKenzie's basically got the Twins and the Tigers for his next two starts. And if he doesn't get his shit together, he's going to go down. The Twins totally lit him up and they sent him down.
Yeah.
And he had to end up coming back. So. Like you said, it's Bieber and Savali and Ford's folly. I don't know. I can't come up with anything good. that was a joke that three people will get. But.
Oh, the Spahn and Sane routine. That is a classic. Yeah, no, it's not been good. It's tough because you're asking so much of these starters already with our offense to have to be perfect. And then you're right. These are young kids. You know, you hate to use that as an excuse and say, oh, the Indians are the youngest roster in baseball, which they do. But then you're telling Eli Morgan to pitch against that Blue Jay lineup. And quite honestly, he tops out at 90. I mean, he's more of a breaking ball specialist. I mean, that's hard. You know, that's difficult. And Hinch, just like you said, and other people have said it, maybe he is a 1-2 inning guy where he can really rev it up from the left side and not a starter. Well, they're figuring that out and finding that out this season. This is the year that's sort of this transition.
Like you said, this exactly right. Like you just said, this is the year to find out these things, right? I mean, which is why this is the year to find out about Daniel Johnson, and this is the year to find out about Bobby Bradley. I personally can't believe that these two, with the way things have gone, still haven't gotten a chance. But if both of these guys are 25 and a AAA and have been a AAA now for 3 years, if they can't get up here and show what they got, then they should. Why are we carrying all these guys on this 40-man roster who basically they don't even seem to trust? You know what I mean? Like, at this point, and again, I'm going off on a side tangent and we have to wrap this up, but like Oscar Mercado, like, do you think we ever see him again? Like, I feel like he's the next DFA guy.
It's stunning what happened to him. I mean, I was trying to explain to somebody the other day that was texting me, like, whatever happened to Mercado? I'm like, he just lost it. Talk about a guy that came up 2 years ago and just lit it up, looked great in spring training. We waited to bring him up. Then they do bring him up, and he was great. He was hitting the ball hard. He was one of the top rookies. And then just lost it. I mean, confidence is shot. He's hitting what? What's he hitting at Columbus? 200?
Not well.
So it's like, geez, it's amazing. I'm glad Owen Miller's getting a chance, and he does need to be playing. And he's going to snap out of this. It can't get any worse than what he's doing now, hitting in the 130s. But
they're doing the right thing by playing him every day and giving him these chances. I don't know if Bradley and Daniel Johnson are ever going to get that chance. Like, it's amazing to me, and I know why they did it. Like, Harold Ramirez has gotten every chance in the world to succeed, right? And he's Harold Ramirez.
But he's been decent.
Yes, he has been decent. I like Harold. I'm a fan. You and I were leading that charge. We love that guy.
It's fine. Yeah, I mean, for our team, yes, he's hit. Yeah, he's delivered team, some big hits. You know, the Thursday Bieber day in Detroit, I mean, he was the whole offense until Rosario's home run. So he's part of the R factor.
All right.
So real fast. So tonight, Bieber against Dylan Cease at 6:10. It's a good matchup. Cease's ERA is actually lower than Bieber's.
He's been very good.
And then tomorrow, the day game, Eli Morgan against, you know, Lance Lynn's pitching on 3 days rest. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, they have to because Michael Kopech was put on the injured list yesterday.
Yes. So they're giving him, he's going to pitch on 3 days rest, which should be interesting. I mean, he's been dominant.
Yeah, he really has.
But they've had a bunch of doubleheaders. Yeah, me too. And then Friday night, Savali is back as we have the off day Thursday. So Savali opens in Baltimore. It appears Matt Harvey will pitch that game for the Orioles. They have a TBD for tomorrow. The Orioles do. Then John Means against Henches on Saturday at 4:05. And then Sunday afternoon, Bieber against something called Keegan Aiken. I don't know who that is. I know he pitched at Alma College. That's in Michigan. But other than that, that's a left-hander. So two lefties back-to-back.
More lefties, which means
Saturday and Sunday.
Chang at first base.
Oh, Lord of mercy. But if you're the Orioles, I mean, any team should be pitching lefties against us. You look at it.
And they do. You saw La Russa yesterday. He didn't even go to Liam Hendricks to close it out. He went to Aaron Bummer after Rodon because, I mean, I guess Hendricks had pitched, but... I guess he was taking the day
a bunch
off,
of days
still,
in a row.
He
yeah,
went right
yeah.
to a left-hander. He knew. The genius.
Oh, yeah. He still looks weird in that uniform, being back after all these years. So
I hate him.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan. But they have a really good team.
Yes, they do. They have a great team. Just think if they had a manager that they could relate
Billy Hamilton is raking for them. And he was on the Indians.
I saw the stat that he hit home runs in back-to-back games this week. It was the first time he'd done so since, like, 2014.
And we couldn't get him out yesterday.
It was the first time he had hit multiple homers in a week, yeah, since 2014, and he'd only done it one other time in his career.
Yeah, couldn't get him out yesterday. Like, ridiculous. Total pain in the ass. Totally what we need. And, well, It is what it is. I mean, you battle through with the White Sox. You got to take advantage of these off days and take care of Baltimore this weekend. Although the Indians, do you remember when they played the Orioles? Was it 2 years ago?
19-1 they lost, I think, or something.
I think we got, right? Didn't we get swept there?
I think we got swept. And I think it was a year that we won the division or something.
I think it was 2 years ago. Wasn't it 2019?
Whatever year it was, we went into Baltimore and got absolutely worked. And I think one of the games they lost, I think they lost, it was 13-0. It was a Sunday afternoon. They lost the game 13-0.
I mean, the whole weekend was a disaster, but I think it was it was either 18 or 19. It was a couple years ago. So,
yeah.
All right, brother. Well, get it. So you're going tonight?
Yes, Brooke and I are going tonight.
All right, we'll get it done. There he is, Todd Derry, Matt Derry with you. Derry Brothers Tribecast at waitingfornextyear.com or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingT.com/Derry for sponsorships. And we'll do it all again next week. Don't you know that you're
a grown-up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No, right.